I want to put a word in you, and this is the word, next step. Next step. You know, the Lord tells us that the steps of the righteous are ordered by Him. It doesn't say one day at a time. It's the step. You waiting for the day to wrap up, you're not in the where you need to be. You're not in the flow. You need to be in the step. The steps of the righteous. I mean, you know what? I'm going to do something weird. Stand up. Take a step to the right. And see, obedience matters. The Holy Spirit wants to release increase into your life, and your willingness to obey is what allows it. Step to the right. See, it's the steps of the righteous that are ordered by the Lord. And when we're quick to obey the leading of the Lord and step to the left, if that's what He says, then the Holy Spirit is quick to respond to your faith. And sometimes our faith is just going to turn something upside down, and it doesn't even seem connected in our brain. You know, your brain is the troublemaker. I can tell you what happens to me. Somebody can be engaged with me, and I'm into the conversation. It's awesome. Then something catches the corner of my eye, and I'm like, oh, look, the bird. Anybody else? And then you just pick right back up. Or maybe you go, wait, I was fixing to tell you something. Anybody got those moments? Walk into the room. And you can be in the middle of the sentence describing what you were describing, and you forget what you were about to say. You cannot trust your brain. But in our faith, we have to hear the voice of our Father. And we have this thing where we want to ask God, pass the next step. Well, Lord, I'll take the next step when you tell me when we're going and what time we're going to get there. That's not how it works. You just take the step. Pastor Mike said something I thought was good. Some of y'all are going to catch this. He said, you're driving down the road. The Lord says, stop the car, get down, go into the woods 50 yards and dig a hole. You don't wait for the shovel. Do you get it? When He provides direction, tells you to do something, you just got to stop the car, put it in park, get out of the car and walk into the woods. Don't wait for the shovel. Our brain tells us how it's got to be done, and you don't know how it's got to be done. We have a God of impossibilities, and He might not want you to use a shovel. He may want you to use an air shovel, but you're just going to dig that hole because God said to do it, and you're not going to worry about how it's done. That's good stuff right there. So I want you to do something this week. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17 and read that passage. And then go to Luke chapter 16 and read that passage. Those two passages both reveal a truth that this church is about to operate in, and it's exciting. The Spirit of the Lord wants to operate in our lives similar to how He did with Elijah. So Elijah was a prophet who was submitted to the Lord by his own confession. He told King Ahab, I am the Lord's servant. But then he told King Ahab, and it will not rain in this land until I say so. Now, you know, that's quite some audacity to tell a king. We think of kings as being higher than us. But a king that's in idolatry is not higher than us. How many of you were bought by the Son of the living God? There is no higher value. And that was your purchase price. And that means that you are submitted to Him and to Him alone. And I'm going to say something that you probably don't usually hear from people who are teaching you the gospel. But that includes your spouse. That includes your parents. That includes your brother, your sister, your friends, your boss, everyone. No one supersedes and takes the place of God Almighty in your life. No one. That's not rebellion. That's a servant of God. Right? And then God causes you to submit to authorities on the earth. But He gave you authority and dominion that we need to operate in. If we're not operating in our authority and our dominion, then we're falling short, as Pastor shared last week, right? We don't, you know, all have sinned and fall short. Well, you can get Christ's blood to apply to your sin, but still live your life falling short of the dominion He assigned you to. And we need to be in that dominion. The Spirit of the Lord wants to do things through you. And you know, it's really cool because it doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status was when you were born. It doesn't matter what high school you went to. It doesn't matter what you do for a living, what kind of clothes you wear. I mean, think of John the Baptist. God used him so powerfully. And he's wearing camel skin and eating locusts. That sounds like somebody from Cameron eating crawfish, right? So it doesn't matter. It matters what you believe and what you say in response to your belief. What are you saying that God said to you? Well, that's going to start with you hearing what God said to you and walking in it. Last week, we had a couple of guests here. They were here in the first service. And I shared about the butterfly thing, right? About God teaching me dominion with that little butterfly event. And I walk in the lobby, and she's telling Jonathan to close the door because there's a bunch of bees out there, and she's concerned that they're going to sting somebody, right? So close the door so the bees don't come in. So I'm going to go up there and say, because I know about those particular bees. We've had them for a while. They're carpenter bees. They don't sting. So I'm going to go over there and tell her they don't sting. Those are fine. Don't worry about them. They do drill holes in our porch, and we have to keep putting dowel rods in there. But they don't sting you. You can catch those bees. They're not going to sting you. I said, you know, in fact, those bees will come up and hold a conversation with you. They'll fly right in front of your face and sit there and look at you and just wait for you to tell them something or something. And as I'm saying this to her, now I just told the butterfly story, as I'm saying this to her, here comes a bee, and he's right there. And he's just sitting there staring, and she's gone because she's thinking it's connected to the butterfly. No, I don't think that was dominion, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe all this time when I'm walking down my arbor and those bees are coming to say good morning, it's dominion, and I'm just missing it and assigning it to their nature. I don't know. I think it is just their nature. But you do have a dominion, and God will use supernatural events to confirm it for you and to help you understand it. So Elijah was able to tell the king, it's not going to rain. It's not going to rain till I say so, because you need to break your idolatry and what you're holding Israel's head underwater. Now, how does this man decide that he can tell the rain to shut up? Well, he didn't. He was a servant of the Lord, and the Lord honored his declaration. How many of you walking in that kind of dominion? Tim shared a story. I have stories. Dwayne has stories of God authorizing that kind of dominion. And you can have stories. It doesn't matter anything about your history. The enemy wants to remind you of your history so that he can get you to lock in with that brain instead of with your spirit, right? God always has a problem with idolatry. So in this account, this prophet is fighting two fights. So he's got the king on this side, and I think it's kind of cool that he said, you know, the rain is going to stay gone till I say so. That's kind of like some death insurance there. The king can't knock him off because the rain's not coming back till he talks. So he's got to protect him. But the prophet is fighting that side. But then when he brings the famine, he's in the famine. When he brings the drought, he has to live in the same drought that he spoke forth. So creation was submitted to the prophet's word. But the prophet is also submitted to the abundance of creation. And so God sends him down to the brook, and he eats and drinks from the brook in supernatural ways. And he's walking in his calling and dominion. And in that time span, something is perfected in him so that when the Lord lets that dry up, he says, now go to the widow of Zarephath. And I've commanded her to sustain you. Now, the first time I read that story, Lord, you said you commanded her. How come she didn't know? Did y'all read that? Did y'all go, wait a minute, she doesn't know. You said you commanded her. He shows up, knocks on the door, and she goes, no, I don't have enough for you. I just got enough for us. The prophet had to know the command was on the household, not in the widow's mouth. And so he has to do something, because the reason that he sent to her to begin with is she has idolatry in her life. She's a faithful woman. This is the same woman who has received the promise of her son brought back to life. She witnessed the man of God bring her son back to life. She knows the power of the promise, but she's not asking God. Who was she asking to sustain her? Come on, who can tell me? In the passage, when Elijah says, I've come, Lord sent me, you're going to sustain me. She answers and says, my little idol says, I ain't got enough. Her little idol was flour and oil. You got to have those to make bread. I don't know why she left out water. That's important, too. I mean, he did say the rain's dried up. So what happens? This is where we don't understand. See, there's two things. When you're a new believer, the Lord will cause you to give and be generous because you're giving away something that is between him and you don't even know it. And so Elijah comes along and tells the widow, you got to give this to me, and I'm going to consume it because it's an idol. He doesn't say that, but we know that. It's an idol. You think that you're not enough is what's calling it on your life. But he's the God of more than enough. And she knew that but forgot it. How many of you have walked in the power of God's blessing and promise and then forgot it? And then went right back to your idols and decided that my paycheck was my supply or my whatever. It happens, doesn't it? And so the prophet is sent by God. You want to know why? Because she has a promise that God counted special. And he's not going to let her in her unbelief go down for the count. So he sends the prophet to destroy the unbelief. What was the unbelief? Her flour and oil was her supply. Her flour and oil was not her supply. So a lot of times new believers are called to deposit generously out of what they think their supply is. It happened to Dwayne and I many times. In fact, the down payment for this church came when Dwayne was told, write your check for every cent that's in your checking account. The answer could have been, but Lord, we got to pay the water bill with that. But Lord, we got to do this with that. But Lord, we don't have enough. But he didn't. He wrote the check for every penny, and then he wrote all kinds of prophetic declarations all around that envelope. When that church got that, they had a story on that envelope. And then it was like within a week, two different sources deposited a hundredfold increase on that check, and it created the deposit for this facility. See, God doesn't allow idols. He doesn't allow them. No faith flows when you're bowed down to the vain imaginations of your own mind. You know, I remember being a total heathen and thinking that lifeless things had some kind of weird unearthly power and being scared to death of stupid things. Well, where was all that? It was right here. It was right here. And then I would run from God because I thought God was that scary thing I was experiencing. And so I'm trying to get rid of anything religious because what was religious portrayed to me was weird and scary. So I was running from it, running hard. But when I came to Christ and experienced his goodness, now, about a fear tries to take me in the middle of the night. Instead of calling my mama like I did when I was in my mid-20s just to hear her voice so I could get rid of the terror. I called her at like 1 o'clock in the morning because I had a bad dream and I could not get a hold of myself. And she answers, hello. And I said, I had this bad dream. Go back to sleep, Cindy Maria. Okay. It was off. Terrorized all the time. But when I came to Christ, instead of running from, I started trying to concoct some kind of prayer. Our Father, 15 times whatever, Lord, you are the righteous one, the God of lights. Not that devil, you God. I want to make sure I'm praying to the right God, and I'm running toward him, and the fear was gone. You run toward God, because fear and worry are really your worship assigned to the wrong thing. Yeah? So we need to know what the next step is. And sometimes the next step is you are worshiping some idols and you think your little meager supply is what's going to sustain you. And it's not enough. It's not enough. And so the enemy is tormenting you and terrorizing you and telling you that you're not going to make it because you don't have enough. Wait a minute. I was bought with a price. Say it with me. I was bought with a price. By the Son of God, the creator of all things. And I'm not undone till he says I'm undone. My supply is not what causes me to prosper. He causes me to prosper. And you know what else it says? He causes the righteous to prosper and adds no sorrow to it. That's Bible. You know, we need to read our Bible. Because when you read the Bible, you're going to find out that he wants his people to prosper. That includes wealth. That's not a thing to him. It's not. But if you make it a thing, guess what's going to happen? You're on lockdown. So you're going to have to recognize if you got something in your life that you're holding on to, white knuckling, hoping that you'll get more of that. No, he can't give you more of that till you let go of that. We got to recognize our seed and our bread, right? So Elijah goes to the widow. He's got Ahab on this side, government on this side, and he's got the widow and idolatry on this side, the individual. The nation and the individual are both in the eye of God, and he wants to bring both out of idolatry. Because idolatry is you prescribing life to something that has no life. It's craziness. How many of you know you got a crazy brain? And it don't make no sense. And it will get afraid of things that have no life in them. And it'll worry over things that is not your supply. And so the Lord calls us to be free from that. And you're the one with the power in your mouth to bring that freedom. So you change your believer by putting in the word of the Lord. And then your mouth begins to line up with that. So we can abide and worry, or we can get the next step. The next step may be take your last little bit and stick it in that offering basket. Now, here's what Elijah needed to be concerned about. Don't tell that widow to give you her last meal. What kind of mercy is that, you money-grubbing preacher? You're taking from the poorest in the land the little bit she got and putting it in your pocket. Now, if Elijah were worried about that instead of her idolatry, he wouldn't ask for it. And they'd have both been in real hot water. So Elijah, because he's a servant of the Lord, recognizes idolatry is stopping her supply, and they're both dependent on that supply. So he tells her to go cook the bread and bring it to me. Why? Because that son you got right there, that's the promise. And it's got to live. And I'm here to make sure he does. Some of y'all getting this. God wants to do a new thing in Church of the Promise. And he's going to give us the next step. And it's not going to be because anybody here anointed you and prayed for you to do it. It's going to be because you reached up in heaven and took a hold of what belongs to you. And you said, my God is not a man that he should lie. Because you look into the Father and say, you have bought me with the most expensive thing. And all the authority that created everything that is ruling over me. Then I'm not submitted and subjected to anything else on this planet. Because there are people who will come into your pathway and then they will try to get you to bow down to them. Now they don't mean harm. They're just stuck in their idolatry. So you don't get mad at them. You just don't listen to them, right? And they'll use scowls. They'll use criticism. They'll use gripes and complaints. They'll try to mean, stick them big old eyebrows down right here to where they connected into a unibrow and try to make you feel like you better be scared of me. What? I'm sorry. You don't look like my Jesus. You need to put your sassy pants on this morning. What's the next step, Father? What's the next step, Father? That's what we need to know. I can't get my attention set on anything or anyone else. Now, there are religious people who will say, woman, you should be submitted to your husband. I am submitted to my husband. I submit my opinion to him all the time, and sometimes he listens. I warned you. But listen, I follow him as he follows Christ. And I'm very thankful to have a man of God that I follow. But if he wasn't following Christ, don't you think I'm so crazy that I'm going to let an idolater get me to bow down to him instead of God? Hello? God never told you to bow down to idolatry. And if you're in a covenant relationship with a person who's stuck in idolatry, you're the deliverer, wake up call. So then you say to the Father, Lord, help me. Give me the words. And he will. And there is a kind of submission there, right? It's love for one another. But that doesn't mean you let them authorize things in your life. The authority that you dwell under comes from heaven. The authority that God gives to you comes from him. And you walk in that so that you can speak and declare things just like Elijah the Tishbite. Just like him. You can see mighty, powerful things happen because you declared it. Now, it doesn't come from this knot-headed thing up here. That would be witchcraft. It doesn't come from your will and you coming up with an idea and deciding, oh, that'd be cool. And then, oh, Lord, make this happen. No, God's not your genie in the bottle. You're supposed to be hearing from him, coming into agreement with him. And then he will authorize you what seems to be above and beyond, right? And you'll speak and declare. I absolutely am convinced that that casino that was on the riverfront that was floating around is out because of me, given my motherly authority over my child who was working in there at the time to the Lord. My authority, I give it to you, Father. She's my child. I give you my authority. And he gave me a vision of that thing exactly like it landed. So that when the hurricane was coming out in the Gulf and it was going to go somewhere else, the Lord reminded me of that vision. And I told our congregation, y'all evacuate because it's coming here. I don't care what the weatherman said. It's coming here. Why do I know it's coming here? Because he's got to get that casino out of commission. I believe that when I'm in agreement with God, impossible things will happen by my profession that speaks what he speaks. Do you believe that? So then your supply is not your credit card. It's not getting rid of your cell phone bill. It's not swapping them constantly so you don't have to pay the last one. It's not the IRS. You know, I just recently heard that the government has changed the rules on the tax. So now if you didn't know before, you're going to owe this year. I ain't scared. They can do what they want. They're not my supply. My supply doesn't come from a paycheck. My supply comes from my Father. Have you noticed people can give you stuff for free that you didn't even ask for? Well, that's supply. God can bless you in ways and avenues that are beyond what you're thinking. Don't make an idol out of a paycheck or a bank statement. Don't ask that. Don't ask money. In fact, start telling money to follow the vision of God for you in your life and watch God supply it. Amen? We need to know what the next step is. Elijah was concerned about the promise because God was concerned about the promise. And some of you have a promise, and you've been thinking that, well, we're going to die because of this lack of supply. No, what you're looking at is not your supply. It's a dumb idol. So this is what you do. You let the prophet come and say, give me that. He's not taking your money. He's not taking your supply. He's taking your idol. Put it in the offering basket. Get rid of it. And then watch God bring you true riches. Now, let me tell you what true riches are. You look at your neighbor and say, you are true riches. Some of you don't know how to invest in true riches. The true riches is what Christ came and died for. Luke 16. Y'all check that passage out thoroughly and labor for the Father to reveal to you what that passage is about. We lack courage sometimes because we don't understand what true riches are. But he warns us that if you won't be faithful with what belongs to another man, how could God then entrust true riches to you? And the true riches are the lives of people around you. Then he tells us, you know, that passage was confounding to me because it seemed like Jesus was telling us to be kind of crooked and underhanded. That's not what he was saying. He's just talking white-collar stuff there. That's a white-collar passage. If you don't understand finances and interest rates and all that kind of stuff, he's talking to those folk right there. And that guy's a debt collector. And his boss made money on debt, just like our government has learned to do, right? And so we don't operate there. I'll tell you where we operate. We got two voter bases in America. One of them believes you got to earn everything you got. It's a zero-sum kind of thing. If I'm going to have this, I got to go make the money to buy this, right? But then you have the other voter base that goes, oh, you got that, and I want it. And the two voter bases are being worked and manipulated by people who do neither. Now, I want you to translate that. We have the kingdom of God that believes I got to earn my salvation. And we got the kingdom of God over here that says, no, I don't. He paid for it. But sometimes we transfer over and go, but you have it, and so I got to get it from you and get religious. But the people who are operating up here in the glory of God, they're not down there. The supernatural supply can take negative and turn it into positive, can take debt and turn it into asset. Spirit of God knows how to do that. I'm bewildered when I'm reading the passage. I don't get it. The guy released the debt and the boss was happy. It didn't make sense. So what you have to understand is that the Lord is saying to you, the true riches are not mammon. Mammon is idolatry. The true riches are the living, eternal beings that dwell on this planet. And here's a news alert. They're not dogs, and they're not horses and chickens or any kind of, that's all temporary assigned to this planet. It doesn't, those are not eternal. Quit putting all your life and your love into animals that are just for this planet. Your love belongs to the person sitting next to you who is eternally created and designed for eternity. That's true riches. That's what Christ came for. And so we put our resources into that and helping them break idolatry and be willing to be the prophet who walks up and says, give me that idol and we're both going to live. But if you keep it, you're going to die and God's going to give me supply from somewhere else. And he will. Watch out for those who come into your lane, into your dominion and prescribe doubt and unbelief to you and you want to give way to that. And that's how you end up abandoning the promise and prescribing it to the thing that can't supply. We have to recognize. So God has called us, and this is what you need to understand. For some of you, the next step is understanding that I am subject to the Son of God and Him alone. That includes addictions. That includes bad habits. That includes everything. If I still think I'm governed by addiction, I am not understanding that God has purchased me and He's given me freedom. If I still think how my spouse treats me affects how I feel, he's an idol, and he didn't make himself that way. She's an idol. She didn't make herself that way. You're prescribing that. God is your God, and to him alone do we serve. Amen. Amen? So then I can be in a covenant relationship with people who are unscrupulous and giving me a hard time and being unkind and all that. Don't touch me. You can't touch this. Because my God, is he your God? Then your confession lines up with what heaven says, and you are a circumstance changer. God puts you as a deliverer. You're a person then who has authority to speak to things and watch them change no matter what happens. But if you step out of that and you start letting your little idols come back and speak to you and all your insanity to take place again, as quickly as you recognize it, go, whoa, that ain't my God. I rebuke you. Say it with me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Yeah. See, the master was excited about the servant reconciling that debt because he got some of his money and he got a sustained customer because all those people were happy with the master now. My husband had to explain that part to me because I didn't get it. I will tell you this too. That's a masculine passage, right? That's a passage that men are going to be quicker to understand than women because it's just, it's white collar. You notice you don't see a lot of women in white collar jobs? That's, men create those weird little rule systems. We're very black and white. That's why we keep their morality in check, right? They're into all those, I don't even know where you got that. And it's good. Jesus didn't have a problem with it. He didn't have a problem with it because we're zero sum. He's not. Your righteousness is never going to get you anywhere. He took your debt and canceled it and made your debt his abundance. How'd he do that? My brain's going, what? How'd he do that? He took your credit card debt and used it to create assets. He took your sin that was your debt against him and flipped it around and made it an asset. That's white collar thinking. I don't know how he does it, but I'm glad he did. And because of that, I'm going to walk in the newness of life that he says I have. Well, how could that be? I look at my life and it's a negative, but you look at my life and you see the positive. Well, I'm just going to follow you. And I'm not going to worry about what they're doing, not doing, because that's only going to rip me off. That's idolatry. But I can go to heaven and I can appeal to heaven and I can put into my mouth words of life and speak it over yourself. And that's what you do. If the Lord could command a butterfly to land on my finger, he can command your life to come into order with him. I believe he already kind of wrote that down. He wants that to happen. So if we stop letting the enemy put our voice to what they did and put our voice to what they're going to be, we're going to see that negative debt become an asset. And I am a preacher that is carrying a message about assets and debt cancellation. How about you? Yes. Yes. But you know that old unbelieving brain? That unbelieving brain is going to tell you. Tim shared that account of Mike's boy with the broken arm, his broken elbow. Got it x-rayed, got proof. He shared it with his coworker, and his coworker goes, how do I know the doctor wasn't in on it? You cannot trust the brain, folk, because it's going to keep you in unbelief. How many of you know when God has brought a new thing to your face and said, I'm going to do this thing in you, and you went, how could that happen? Just shut yourself up. I plead the blood of Jesus over this mind and shut up. The Lord has said, it doesn't matter what, how, when, he has said. And if when he says there's light, then when he says there's every other promise fulfilled. But I got to do my part, right? And my part is to bring that word into my mouth and release it. Then angels can act on it. Bring that word into my mouth and release it. Then creation will bow down. He's given you dominion, but it must be in agreement with God. So you're not waiting on someone to come along and pray for you. You're not waiting for someone to lay hands on you for you to receive an anointing. God is waiting for you to agree with him as the maker of heaven and earth. He's waiting for you to come into agreement with what he has apportioned to you, and it is not held back by anyone or anything. But your crazy brain can assign it to, stupid. When you look at idolatry and what people assign it to, it's really not smart. And you got to wonder about humanity. When you see the idolatry that's around the earth in all these cultures and they've systemized it to where they don't want to let it go because my grandma did this and my great-grandpa did that and I got to keep doing it too. It's like, it's a piece of wood. What are you thinking? Oh, don't talk about that wood like that. They are just trapped. I was there, you know, and I'm going to tell you where your trap is. This is your trap. So what are you going to do with that trap? Shut your trap. Yeah. Don't let the trap, the snares, and the meditations be anything less than what God is. And then speak to your circumstances. Stop thinking that who they say they are is a permanent thing. Stop thinking that just because they're confessing, well, this is my lifestyle. This is who I was born. No, it's not. It isn't. Take it from them. Take that idol from them. No, it's not. You're wrong. I'll tell you who you are. You're a created being that bears the image of God. You're destined for eternity if you come into agreement with God. You were made for eternity, not your puppies that you're pushing around in a baby stroller. What? That belongs to a human being, and you're dishonoring it by sticking a dog in it. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with them? This. You know the difference? You have the mind of Christ. So we look at them and go, what? We'll bring the word of deliverance to them. And yeah, you might get a neighborhood fight going, but you might deliver them. You can keep your peace with them. Is it peace if it's no righteousness? Is it peace? The Spirit of the Lord wants to operate. I tell you what, there's a much more prophetic edge in this gathering than there was in the first service. So you may want to go, yeah, I'm going to tell you, there's that prophetic edge that's happening here is cutting deeper. And the Spirit of the Lord wants to do something deeper. And we have to yield to it. We are sitting labored and weighed down with idols. And we don't even recognize them. And the Lord wants to create freedom and sever you from your idolatry. See, the problem isn't on the outside. The problem's in here. It's what are you worshiping? How do you know him? Do you know him as the creator of all things? As your redeemer? Do you know him who left the throne room to come to this land and find you and ask you, make your way of escape. Here's the way. Walk in it. But he's not going to do it for you. He will not. And I'm not going to do it for you. He never told me to do it for you, but he will tell me to speak and declare. So what we need to do this morning is begin to speak and declare, I've been purchased, bought with a price. The Son of the living God is my Lord and my King and no other. I will not be given over to peer pressure from lesser things that don't serve the living God. And say it with me. I am bought with a price. I serve the living God. The creator of heaven and earth. Who in his mouth said, let there be light, and there was light. And he's put a word in my mouth to speak and declare contrary to all things that war against him. And it'll bring forth light because he's ordained it so. And I will not be distracted by what my mind says lives, but I will run after what my spirit says lives. The living God. His purposes, his plans are mine. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Spirit, soul, and body healed, whole, complete, lacking nothing in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your freedom. We thank you, Lord, you left nothing out. You left nothing out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for total restoration. That everything the enemy has stolen, Lord, we declare the thief has been found out. He must repay seven times over. I thank you, God, that everything he's stolen from us, everything he's stolen from our parents, everything he's stolen from their parents, and everything he's stolen from their parents, and their parents, and their parents, and their parents, all the way back to Adam and Eve, God, we command the enemy to release it. In Jesus' name. Father, we refuse to settle for the crumbs when you've given us the whole loaf. All for your glory. All for your majesty. All for your kingdom purposes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We glorify your name, Jesus. Have your way in us, Lord. Hallelujah. I really sense the Lord's healing some things right now in some people. Thank you, Father. In fact, I got the sense last week, I really felt that, and I'll feel it again this week, that literally God is restoring brain cells. That he's restoring clarity. I literally sense the fire of God bringing restoration in the brain cells of people's lives. Thank you, God. Whether it was through injury, whether it's through disease, whether it was through drug abuse or anything else, there is restoration happening right now. Bless your name, Jesus. Lord, let your fire go into every part of our being. Restore and heal. Deliver. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're in agreement, why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord right now and just out of your own heart, just begin to thank him. Come on, just let it flow out of your lips. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Blessing and honor and glory, Lord. Blessing and honor and glory, Jesus. You're worthy, 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 worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His love endures forever. Wrap your people up in your love today, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, go deep, deep, deep as you need to go in us, Lord, to remove that which does not belong and replace it with your glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you're in agreement, why don't you shout an amen to the Lord? Give him one more good praise offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't want to tell you, we've said it before, but just literally a few seconds in his glory can do more than a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a medical doctor can do in years. Just a few moments in his glory changes everything. It changes everything. Please don't have the mindset that I just got to do this religious thing because this is what you do in church. But I'm telling you, God is meeting us here in a very special way today. He's not surprised by anything that you're experiencing or going through in your life. He's here, and he's here to meet you right where you are. Father, I thank you for completing what you started. I thank you, Lord, that not one person will walk out of this room being able to say, I didn't have the opportunity to touch your heart and be touched by your heart. Oh, God, I pray, pull us out of our own thinking patterns and the things that hold us back, Lord, and help us to live in your glory day by day, step by step. Lord, we know the enemy will come after us. We know that he'll try to bring discouragement, but I thank you, Father, step by step, day by day, Lord, you are with us. I thank you for causing people to come up to a higher level than they've ever experienced and their intimacy with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes all it takes is that one person who says, you know what, I'm just not going to be satisfied with just being religious. I'm going to touch God. And as they touch God, it manifests in all of us. Tell somebody, I want to be that one. know, when Pastor Mike Melee, he's my pastor. Some of you know him, some of you maybe not, but when the Lord connected us, it was on a day when I had received a prophetic word that I should be at a specific service in San Antonio with the college that I went to, a specific word from God that I needed to be there because Pastor Mike Melee, who I didn't even know, I knew of him, I had heard him preach, but I didn't know him, that he was going to be there and he was going to have a word just for me. And I was blown away that in the middle of him preaching his message to an auditorium packed with hundreds of people, he did it in Mike Melee style. If you know him, you know what I'm talking about. But he's just preaching away, and all of a sudden he just says, "Oh, y'all not listening to me. I'm going to go preach to," and this is what he said, "I'm going to go preach to that brother from the Lake Charles area." And he got down off of that platform, and he walked right up to me and Pastor Cindy, and he acted like nobody else was in the room for the rest of his message. Now, there's hundreds of people here, and he's standing here talking just to me and Cindy. And I'm thinking, if you had any idea the significance of this moment, because we were at a time where our pastor had retired, and the Lord spoke to us, and he said, "You need a covering in your life." And the Lord connected us right there in that moment. And he said the Lord told him on the way, as he was driving from New Orleans to San Antonio, he said, God told him, "I'm sending you a Samuel. I'm sending you there for one man. And he's a Samuel. And I'm giving you the word for him." Meanwhile, on the other end, he sends a prophet to say, "I'm sending you to San Antonio, because Pastor Mike Melee has a word just for you." Can I tell you that'll change your life when God does stuff like that? So I understand that. Some people are not going to get it. Some people don't want to get it. Some people are never going to press in. But all we need is one. Right? And I pray always that there's more than one. But with just one, we can change things. I'll never forget the Lord dropping this in my heart, because I'd get up and you know, we'd have communion, and I did this for many, many years, and I would read this scripture or one like it, and that part where Jesus said, "Truly, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God," that I just thought that meant that one day when we meet together in heaven. Because that was my mentality, that was like when we all get to heaven and we're going to be at the banqueting table and Jesus is going to, you know, get to drink of the fruit of the vine again. But how many of you know there's no need in heaven to even drink of the fruit of the vine? He wasn't talking about heaven. He was talking about our lives. He was talking about you and me. He was talking about us taking that place of dominion in his glory and manifesting that in our lives and allowing him to drink of our lives. See, today we drink of his life laid down for us, but now he desires to drink of our lives. And so I said before, we're kind of like little mini winemakers, and we didn't even know it. The Lord wants the fruit of the Spirit born in our life, and he wants the fruit of the Spirit to be the source of the cup that he drinks from, because that's what gives him much joy. Amen. He's going to have a lot of joy that we go to heaven. He's going to be very joyous for us that we go to heaven when we die. But what really brings him joy is to see our life fruitful on the earth. See, that's the vine. That's the fruit of the vine that he wants to drink from, and he doesn't have to wait till we get to heaven for him to drink from it. Amen. You know, this past week we went to a conference where my pastor was teaching and preaching, and he said something that just kind of stuck in my mind. It wants to bring me to tears. Just in casual conversation, we were standing there watching, and Pastor Mike came walking up, and he looked at us, and we said a couple of things, and he looked at us and he said, your ministry is so fruitful. Can I tell you, there is no greater thing, no greater compliment that we could hear, because you know what that means? It's not just talking about us, that's talking about you. He says your ministry is fruitful. We want to give Jesus lots of the fruit of the vine that he can drink from. Amen. And he's given us this bread and he's given us this cup so that we can receive and manifest the healing he paid for and the salvation and the dominion over sin that he paid for, so that other people can see his glory in our lives and say, I need what they have. And that's what this is really about. That's why Jesus said, remember me. Remember me every time you do this. And can I tell you something else? The Apostle Paul told us, he said, the reason so many among you are sick and dying is because you partake of this unworthily. I used to think that meant, man, I blew it this morning before church, and I don't know if I should take communion because I don't want to die. Me and my wife, we argued, or I said this, or I had a bad thought or a bad attitude. But that's not what the Apostle Paul's talking about at all. He's saying when you take of it unworthy or partake of it unworthy, it means you're partaking of it lightly. You don't understand what this is really all about. And if you don't understand what this is really all about, you're not going to understand that this bread is for your healing. You're not going to understand that you no longer have to be dominated by sin and do things that are going to cost you so greatly and harm your life. We don't want to eat unworthily. This morning we acknowledge this bread represents our healing. It's been paid for. This cup represents our salvation and freedom from sin, and it has been paid for. Amen. Father, we thank you for what these elements represent. Today, Father, we don't partake of this lightly. We're not just going through religious motions like the Pharisees did. Lord, we're not just trying to keep up with dead, dry religion and just trying to keep the rules. We're here today, Lord, because we celebrate you, we love you, and we're thankful for what you have done in and through us and for us. And Father, I thank you for a fruitful people. Father, we receive that word from heaven today. Lord, may your people be fruitful and walk in the dominion that you have paid to give them, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for manifesting your life in them whatever way is needed today, Father. We thank you for this bread that represents our healing, that by his wounds we have been healed. I thank you that that overcomes every sickness, every disease, every bad diagnosis, Father. We thank you for this bread and what it represents. And Lord, we thank you for this cup. I thank you for your blessings upon it, Father, as we partake today. Lord, I thank you that no longer can sin dominate us, Lord. No longer can shame from that sin dominate us. Lord, I thank you for that freedom that you made available to us through your blood. And so, Father, I pray, bless these elements as we partake today. Manifest them in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.